beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Sometimes I'm a happy sometimes. I'm blue. My disposition, it depends.
You may or may not recognize the musical stylings of R&B singer Micah Robinson on this collaboration with Afro Blue. He's part of the expansive homegrown talent right here in the D.C. Metro. We're celebrating Black Music Month tonight. Also joining us in studio, Michelle Blackwell, the leading lady of D.C.'s own go-go music, and Max Myrick, general manager of the DC Radio 96.3 HD4 and DCRadio.gov. You want to talk about music and the role that local artists here in the DC Metro are playing in this ever expansive genre? Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it. Micah, thanks for calling in for us.
Good evening. What's going on, Harold?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm very well, man. Good to be here.
Thank you so much. Hey, Max. Hey, Michelle.
Hey. Pleasure to be here.
Hey, y'all. Wake these folks up. You know, I need to bring my own, you know, percussion in here to get Michelle up and at them, right?
So,
yeah, it may happen. Look, Micah, I know we don't have you a lot because you are performing tonight at Soto Lounge in D.C. But I'm working, brother. Unfortunately,
there's a 10 o'clock show. If you're free, man.
Well, I appreciate that. But you know, as a young cat out there, you know, doing your thing locally here in the D.C. area, when you think about your role in Black music history, what comes to mind?
I think one of my most important roles is to continue to expand the meaning of Black music and the meaning of Black music history. I think that Black people around the world have always been some of the most creative people in the world. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we commonly get credit for. But I think it's a fine time to start moving some of those things forward and expanding our scope as a people. Really, as an entire human race.
Who influenced you the most when it comes to the kind of style that you were performing?
To say one person the most, I think would disrespect too many people. But I have to honestly say, I was very heavily influenced by growing up with two parents working in radio, listening to a lot of the classics like, you know, Sam Cooke, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye. But also I got a degree at Howard that I'm proud to have, HU, in which I studied a lot of the classics, including everything in classical music from Rachmaninoff to a jazz degree studying Thelonious Monk and everything else. So it all has value to me.
You know, that's interesting, Max. He talked about the classics, not only classical music, but a classical education. What part do you believe education has played when we're talking about some of the greats past and present?
Well, I think it's important because it gives you a sense of where the music came from, the history of the music. For example, Chuck Brown is D.C., but so is Duke Ellington. But Chuck Brown brought Duke Ellington's music forward. So the education gives you a history of the music. It keeps the music moving forward.
And, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned Chuck Brown, the godfather of go-go. That's DC's own music. You can hear it just about anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world. But I would argue that there are people that know when they hear it, they hear that go-go, that they know it's a DC thing. When you first hear that, you may be thinking Patrice Russian, and you'd be right. But you also must think Michelle Blackwell and that go-go beat. This is Enjoy Myself. It is really, really hot. We're playing it all over WHUR. It has that DC sound. It has that classical R&B. Michelle, talk to me about this piece that I know you are so proud of.
Absolutely. And first of all, I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for having me here.
Sure.
And I'm so grateful to WHUR for giving myself, a local artist, an opportunity to showcase my music. And this song in particular means a whole lot to me because the way it was brought together, I did that with the idea in mind of bringing a feeling of nostalgia. I wanted a song that sort of represented soul music and also embodied what go-go is all about as well, is that steady percussion rhythm. And I wanted to choose some classic R&B music to put original lyrics over. And I went through my musical treasure chest of all of the songs that I grew up listening to that my mom had infused in sort of, it's like the soundtrack to my youth. And Patrice Russian was such an excellent example of an artist and musician. She's such a genius. She plays all instruments. She writes, she produces, she sings. And so the song You Remind Me was a song that I grew up listening to and loving. And I chose that to write the words to enjoy myself. And it's been amazing.
It is an amazing piece. And I got to tell you, when I hear it and I hear some of the lyrics, the first thing that comes to mind is Craig Monsoda's Memorial Day and Haynes Point.
Listen.
And, you know,
it's a great summer song.
You know what? It is a great summer song. Okay, now wait a minute, Micah. I heard you go, what was that?
Man, yeah, I was checking it out earlier, man. It just feels good.
Thank you. It really does.
And here's the thing. You've got, in the piece that we played earlier, Micah, you got Afro Blue. That's a DC song. That's a DC sound too, but it's not go-go. Talk to me about the DC influence in your career.
Oh, man. Well, I think DC is I've been blessed to be able to see a good bit of the world. And I think DC is one of the most diverse cities that I've ever been in. And so that's probably been the biggest influence on me, is that it raised me to appreciate so many different things and pull from all those different things, even in just that one track that you started playing off my new EP. It's out, shameless plug, sorry. But, it starts with a sample from Afro Blue and then goes into, a more original sound that I don't really quite know what it's called yet, but hopefully, somebody we'll hear it and love it and give it a name, sure.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are celebrating Black Music Month with Michelle Blackwell, the leading lady of DC's own go-go music, Max Myrick, general manager of the DC Radio 96.3 HD4, and Micah Robinson. If you have a question, if you have a comment about Black Music Month, about DC music and the role that local artists are playing in this huge historic drama, give us a call. Lines are open again at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Here's one of the things, Max, that we are seeing now. You could almost call this a political statement, but we've seen cultural differences when it comes to black music. We've seen the crossover. We've seen the separation of people, even when it comes to music. What do you think in 2018, the role that black music is now playing in our lives?
Black music is the foundation of all American popular music.
Absolutely.
And it'll always be that way. I mean, we set the trends. We shape the dialogue, and other cultures appreciate or adopt or
you're being kind.
Appropriate. Or,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Uh-huh. But it's,
well,
you know,
done, man. Well done.
You know, that's what it is. I mean, that's what it is. And there, you know, when we were growing up, I'm 60. So things were much simpler when we listened to the radio. We listen to the same music that our parents listened to.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, people have more choices. And so now there's a lot more choices. So the young people have their own music. We have our own music. So, you know, there's a separation there. But, the young people's music is their way of expressing themselves. It's also a good opportunity for us to have a dialogue with them to find out what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are celebrating Black Music Month. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. Lines are open. Marianne calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Marianne. What's on your mind?
I just had a question for Miss Blackwell. Miss Michelle, I remember when you started out, we were in New Orleans, and you were at karaoke singing Love and Happiness. Remember that?
Oh, well, that was quite a few moons and drinks ago, but yes, I think I do remember.
Is that drinks or dranks?
Dranks.
It must
ago.
Be dranks. Okay.
Well, that's what you do when you know that's what you know when in Rome, because we were in New Orleans. But yes, I do remember that, Marianne.
Marianne,
lovely times, lovely times.
Well, Marianne, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Big G, Backyard Band, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind tonight? I just want to salute Michelle Blackwell for that awesome song that she just put together, representing the city and keeping the culture pushing. And just loving everything that she's doing in the city is just like pushing out. And letting everybody know that our music is not just right here in Washington, D.C.
How about that?
Oh, my goodness, what an honor. Bro, you already...
All over the world, you know what I mean? And we just need to stick together a little bit more. And I just want to let Michelle know that I'm super proud of her and just keep doing what she's doing. And it's going to all play out. We salute you and we're going to support you in everything you do, sister. And WHUR... We love you, and we love the Quiet Storm. Don't never take the Quiet Storm away.
We're not going to do that either, you know. I'm just an interloper. But Big G, thank you so much for giving us a call.
Thank you so much, G. And, you know, this is coming from a brother who has really been, you know, walking around and holding this culture on his shoulders. You know, he's taken this music to Africa. I'm not sure if you guys are aware that he went to Ghana with the band a few months ago. Absolutely, and was able to showcase our music in a place where we feel that intrinsically it's coming from, as far as the rhythm and the percussion, it's all sort of in our DNA. And it was really a 360 moment for me to be able to experience that and to watch the faces of the people over on the continent embracing this music. That to me seems, that we got from them in the first place. So he's really been an amazing representative himself. So that was an honor. Thanks, G.
Well, I appreciate him calling in, and we've got to run. But I just want to say, Micah, much success to you, not only tonight, but in the years ahead. Keep doing and creating and representing us, not only in this area, but, nationally as well. I appreciate you participating in the conversation.
Oh, man, thank you so much, Harold, and thank you for everybody listening. Thanks to WHUR for having me. It's really been an honor.
Thank you so much. If you're on the phone, stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We're going to have more of this on Sirius. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
You're the cause and cure of all this mess in my head. Gang of experiments, the sitting in the family.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are celebrating Black Music Month. We're talking about the role local artists are playing in the big Black music picture. My guests are Michelle Blackwell, the leading lady of D.C.'s own go-go music, and Max Myrick, general manager of the D.C. Radio 96.3 HD4 and DCRadio.gov. Still taking your phone calls as we have a conversation about local artists and Black music. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Michelle, are you okay?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Don't apologize.
This is really surreal, and I promise you, this is so sincere. I don't take any of this for granted. This is a city that I grew up in and love, and WHUR is just as much a part of me as go-go music is. My grandmother was a physician at Howard, and my mom worked for her for 15 years. Grew up in Howard and saw this. And just for me to be in this space with you guys is just like a huge honor. And it's kind of surreal, and I'm a little bit emotional. So just excuse me. I'll be all right.
Well, that's okay, because your music is emotional. And, you know, this song is emotional. I would argue, as a native of the area, go-go is emotional. It is cultural. And I'm going to, you know, tell my age when, you know, before we had that double syncopated beat, you know, we had Chuck Brown with Bustin' Loose, we had Trouble Funk, you know, way back in the day, we had Reds and the Boys and all of the other old school. Now I'm really really getting old now, old school. Ooh. You know, I'm talking about, you know, concerts at Prince George's Community College. Old.
Okay. You going back?
Yeah. Well, you know, Max said he's 60. I'm 54. So
I shouldn't tell your age, because, you know, we don't look our age.
That's all right. You know, not all of us can say that. You know, there's some folks that
didn't make it.
But talk to me a little bit about your role as a woman in go-go, because historically, go-go has been a completely male-dominated music drama. Talk to me about breaking out as a woman in this.
Absolutely. Well, I was just talking to Max about this earlier, that go-go, it's a microcosm of the music industry as a whole. So if you notice in hip hop, as far as urban music especially, so if you look at hip hop, it's a male-dominated situation, and go-go music is also urban. You know, very much in urban music. And you're right. Prior to 1994, in the early 90s, that it was pretty much all male, with the exception of an all female band. And ironically, the most successful bands, two of some of the most successful bands were run by women. That's Rare Essence and also Northeast Groovers. But, you're right. It's been It's been a roller coaster, especially in my position, because the band that I was with prior to me working on this project, I also managed the band. And so, having to do, you know, to work with promoters, work with venue owners, they're not accustomed to working with women. And the way we sort of communicate is not necessarily the same way that men do. And me being a woman in a position of authority with 10 guys who I'm managing is also another dynamic. And then, of course, me having to sort of, wrestle with not trying to stifle people's creative, their own creativity, but at the same time putting my foot down when it comes to certain things I did not want to be a part of when it comes to being on stage. I didn't want to be a part of any band that's calling women out of their names, that's talking about violence and all kind of stuff like that. So it was different, you know, and I wasn't received well sometimes. And I kind of got a reputation a few times of kind of being a hard, you know what. And so it was a little different. I think if I was a man, I don't think I would have necessarily had such a hard way to go. But it's also been empowering because women need to see that we can have standout and, standout roles in this business on and off stage and behind the scenes and at the business table and things like that. So it's been a really great, actually it'll be 20 years in 2020. So I'm telling my age.
Yeah, but there you go.
It's
funny because when you talk about local artists, Max, just like in the news business, we say all politics are local. Is it the same way with music? I would argue even Prince was at one time
a local artist. Yeah. DC has so many artists. And one of the reasons that through our partnership with WHUR, the mayor's office and Director Gates started DC Radio was to give local artists another platform in order to get their stuff played. I mean, one radio station can't play all of that music. DC has so many artists. So many good artists. So that's part of it.
Across
it's just there's
genres.
An abundance. DC is one of the few cities. First of all, DC is one of the most musical cities of all cities in the country, and I've worked all over the country, of course. There's no other city in America that has this many venues that are this active all the time. And if you talk to record labels or tour artists or artists from out of town, DC is a must-play market because and the audiences go out and support. This is a very musical town, and because of that, this is a city full of bands. I mean, real bands. Most of the industry is tracks or trios or some combination of that. But DC has full bands, as you were mentioning, 10-piece bands, horns, percussion, real bands. So. That's a great thing for us fans of the music and for us who play the music on in media. But there is an abundance.
I want to drill down a little bit more on that. But first, let's talk to Donna calling from D.C. Donna, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi.
Hey.
I'm Donna Dowdy. I am actually a manager for the local artist, Michael Muse. And I don't know if you know who Michael Muse is.
Absolutely. Mike Muse is a go-go legend. He's now with the
Stylistics. Michael is a
Stylistics.
Go-go legend.
Oh, okay.
And he's a former singer for Rare Essence. And he's been singing for about 30 years. And he just became the lead singer for the Stylistics.
Wow.
And tomorrow he leaves for Japan. So, yeah,
excellent.
Japan, Ireland, Philippines, he's on almost like a world tour starting tomorrow. But the reason why I had to call in is because, I mean, we have so many legendary individuals who are not really recognized. I mean, they've been performing their heart out for years. I mean, there was Little Benny, there was, you know, Chuck Brown, but even like Chuck Brown and Little Benny, you know, Michael Muse is not, to me, personally, he's not getting the recognition I think that he deserves from his city, from his town. We haven't been playing his music on the radio, and I mean, I know that's sometimes a hard or prodigious undertaking, but he has an outstanding CD, and I'm just, you know, I know I've stopped by there personally and put it in the hands of a couple of people, but I just think that someone should recognize Michael Muse as being a DC success story.
Well, you know, I think that. Thank you, Donna, for saying that. And I think that the Michael Muses of the world and the other local artists are really part of the kind of conversation that we're having here, which brings me back to what I was going to ask about Max. You've got a lot, and thank you, Donna, for sharing with us. You've got, Max, a lot of what we call B-side artists. You play them, those that don't always have an opportunity to bubble to the surface unless they get some kind of airplay. How does that kind of thing work? And from your perspective, how do you know when you hear something that makes you say that artist has it, they just need the ears?
Well, I think over time, I mean, I've been doing this for 43 years, and I worked here at this radio station for 4 years. So I've been in the music picking. I've been in a position to choose music that got ratings results.
Right.
So you have a sense of what the audience wants to hear after a certain period of time. And if you live in a market and you're in this business, you should be a part of the market and know what is important to the market. So, that's part of it. And when I hear, you know, you just know after a while, you just know when you hear something. Like when I heard your song,
Enjoy Myself.
Yeah.
I immediately was like, oh, you know, the great song. So that's part of it. But like I said, there's only so many songs that one radio station can play.
Right.
So that's why, you know, we're part of the Howard University Radio Network, and that's why, that's part of the reason our radio station was set up, to give local artists who may not be able to get on HD1 right away an opportunity to get their stuff played.
That's interesting. What part has the internet played for you, Michelle, in the roller coaster, the ups and the downs, the competitions, and the like?
You know, it's funny that you asked, because in a sense, it's been a kind of a double-edged sword. So the internet has actually helped artists such as myself a lot, because it opens up the opportunity for exposure. So I don't necessarily have to, again, I've been in this business for well over a decade, and I've still been able to build up a fan base. I've been writing original material for years, and I can still perform, and they know my stuff because they've gotten to know me on my social media networks. But in another sense, even as you have the opportunity for more exposure with the internet, if you have a huge machine behind you, a record label, you're still going to have an advantage and an edge over a local artist such as myself. So, I mean, you know, that's true.
Because that, I mean, record companies, the major labels, there are only three now, and they're multi, they're global conglomerates, and they're not in the artist development business. They're in the marketing business. So, and they do volume because they don't make the same money they used to make off record sales. So they are in the volume business. They want to get as many artists out there, as many platforms as possible, because all of those tenths of a cent add up. Mm-hmm. And that's the game has changed.
Yeah, and I was about to ask that very question, because back in the day, even when we walk around this radio station, we see the gold records and the platinum records. A lot of artists made money through sales.
Through sales.
How do you make money now, Michelle?
Through performance, and that's one great thing about being an artist in this area, because we thrive on live performance, and now that's really where an artist's bread and butter is. Is if you're not Beyonce or somebody, you know, you're making your money through your live performances, and that's what Go-Go is about, is the live performance. So we've been able to still sort of navigate this, you know, this sort of cultural change as far as when the music industry is concerned, and still be able to earn a decent living. So in that regard, we've been able to sort of, you know, still be able to keep our heads above water. But it's actually, you know, because this is a live music town, mm-hmm. we're a live music industry. Go-go music is still alive and well. So
yeah, there it
I'm
is.
Grateful.
Need to take a break. When we come back, more of this conversation with Max Myrick and Michelle Blackwell as we celebrate Black Music Month. We'll be back in just a moment. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about celebrating Black Music Month with Michelle Blackwell, the leading lady of DC's own go-go music, and Max Myrick, general manager of the DC Radio 96.3 HD4 and DCRadio.gov. Are you ready, Michelle, to explode?
I was born ready. You know, I've been in performing arts my entire life. So that if by explode you mean to expand my music and to spread my music, then absolutely. I mean, I'm not as enamored with the fame part of it, to be totally honest.
But you got to be ready for that.
I mean, I understand, but I mean, I'm sure you've met many artists. But artists are usually a little reclusive, and I'm no different.
Some of them.
Really? Okay. What kind of introverted have you ever gotten that from artists?
Yeah,
we're kind of introverted, but you know, it comes with the territory, and that's all fine and well. But I'm just more excited for go-go in particular, because go-go has always kind of been a stepchild of American urban music, in a sense, so that we weren't necessarily given our props in a sense just what you said.
Yeah,
but
during the break.
Why is that, Max? Well, why do you think
go-go
that is?
Music is as I was mentioning during the break, it's people, it's something about go-go music that is universal to our culture.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that EU song, The Butt, mm-hmm. when that came out, it didn't matter where you were mm-hmm. in the diaspora, in the United States specifically. When that song came out, it was something in us that we recognized that. And then if you listen to modern music, some of the music from the 90s, for example, some of the artists like Jill Scott and some of the hip-hop songs and some of the groups like The Roots,
mm-hmm.
it's the go-go, it's that same go-go swing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's really a universal music.
I remember
that it may not be acknowledged as what it is. I mean, maybe people don't know that it's go-go in other places. But
that probably has a lot to do with it.
But
it's a feel.
I would argue differently. This is why I remember when I started college back in the 80s, and you had two kinds of Black, you know, main Black culture, at least from my perspective. You had your DC guys and you had your New York guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Run DMC, and then there was Go-Go. Mm-hmm. The thing about it was that when the New York guys with the shell tops and the Kangos and the gazelle glasses heard that beat, heard the Go-Go beat, they stopped in their tracks. They were like, what was that? Mm-hmm. But then here's my question. Because they loved go-go. But go-go, like house music, could still be considered a subgenre, while hip-hop exploded and continues to evolve. Why is that? Is it marketing or is it the music?
I have a theory too, but I'll let you go first.
Every city has their sound. Every city has their sound. Chicago has
House music.
Yeah. They have the Steppers. Memphis has the blues. Atlanta has. You know what I mean? New York has. Every city has its own thing.
And I'm fired.
And D.C. just happens to be go-go. That's okay.
But my question is that at some point, hip-hop is no longer New York and L.A. Hip-hop is hip-hop.
It's global.
It's global, and that's why I say But
hip-hop is a combination of a lot of different things. There's no one hip-hop sound.
Mm-hmm.
Right, hip hop is a culture.
Okay,
that's made up.
So
of,
it's go-go.
Yeah, it's a it's more of a DC culture. Like Steppers are a Chicago culture. Like house music is a culture there, but hip hop encompasses a lot of things. If you listen to the music, that was sampled by hip hop. I mean, hip hop uses a lot of samples. It's a lot of different things. It's the reason that the music crossed generational boundaries when Dr. Dre came out with the Chronic.
The Chronic.
Mm-hmm. Well, that touched me too, because it was all of the music from the 70s that I grew up with.
And, mm-hmm. and it's, but honestly,
and the funk, of course.
And but if you look at Go-Go's, especially during the 80s and even now, sampling or what we call covering or hitting a song is kind of intrinsic in Go-Go too. But I have a theory really quickly about why I think that Go-Go music hasn't necessarily been able to pop as far as with the labels, even when record labels were a lot more relevant than they are now, is because I think, you know, in hindsight is always 2020, that if we had marketed ourselves ironically toward rock labels instead of R&B labels, that we might have had a better chance, because R&B labels, I don't think, were accustomed to bands. They were more accustomed to boy groups or girl groups that were like three or four people or solo artists. But as far as dealing with bands, I've in watching people who were interviewed, like the guy who ran Def Jam, I can't remember his name. Rick Rubin.
Yeah.
He talked about Junkyard. He talked about some. I think I remember. I don't remember the interview, but anyways, I think that the dynamic of dealing with and having to pull in 9 and 10 people into a record deal was probably not necessarily feasible back then, and a lot of the guys probably were like, well, you guys, it's going to be one of us. It's going to be all of us or none of us.
Right.
So that might have had something to do with it. Maybe they just didn't really get it or try to, you know what I'm saying?
That's a valid point, because when hip-hop started to emerge, it was at the end of the time where the bands around the country mm-hmm. were kind of dying off, like Ohio Players and mm-hmm. Confunction. Those are all bands.
Right.
And when hip-hop came around, for economic reasons, for the labels, it made more sense. I can just sample some records and mm-hmm. you know, and create a whole new
one
art.
Guy, one person.
Right. Yeah, and I think that is a back.
Although
to,
that is an art in itself.
What do you mean?
Sampling.
Well, true. That's true. But I think that it's kind of a Back to the Future thing. I was talking to someone just today on social media. Confunction just performed here in D.C. And I loved Confunction. Loved Confunction. And had not heard them live, whether somebody posted it or whatever, in many, many, many years. But it occurred to me that just like in Hollywood, where, or at awards shows, for example, it's cheaper to play a CD than it is to hire a 10-person band mm-hmm. or an entire orchestra.
Mm-hmm. You know, the music industry continues to evolve, mm-hmm. and it goes through these periods. I mean, jazz, for example, which is an American art form, has had the longest run of all of American music because mm-hmm. it continues. And it started like around 1900. Mm-hmm. And it was bands, big bands. And then in the 50s, they got, you know, it started becoming individuals, trios. And that's when that changed, because it was too expensive to take those big bands on the road. Mm-hmm. And so that just, you know, it goes in this big circle, and then the bands come back mm-hmm. because people want real music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It resets itself. And then it takes off again for another 20 years. And then at the end of that 25, 30-year cycle, you know, the bands come back. mm-hmm. But it always resets itself in our culture. It always resets itself in the blues.
Mm-hmm. Let me talk to Kendall. Kendall, calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling, Kendall. What's on your mind?
Yes, how you doing, Harold? Thank you for having me.
Sure.
Michelle Blackwell, keep on doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
My question here again, talking about the future of Go-Go, I saw an article in the Washington Post that were talking about expanding. So is there any plan to take it out on the road, maybe expand doing some other country tours out the country?
Well, yes. Well, actually, I'm glad you asked that. If I'm not mistaken, I know that Trouble Funk, I think they're supposed to be going over to Europe this summer in a few weeks, if I'm not mistaken. I know, as again, Backyard just went over to Ghana, and prior to that, Familiar Faces went to Ghana. But I agree that we do need to get out. If we want to spread the music, we have to get out there and physically do it, especially because go-go music is alive. A live genre music where it's, you have this like symbiotic relationship between band and crowd. So in order for us to be able to sort of translate that to people or show them what it is, we're going to have to get out there and get on the road and make it happen. So
yeah, that's an excellent point.
What about collaborations? Like, and they do that in hip hop all the time. Like maybe Snoop Dogg, maybe Beyonce, you know, collaboration like that.
I totally agree. Not only do we need to collaborate more with other artists of other genres, we also need to collaborate more with one another within the genre, because hip hop artists and R&B artists do it all the time. And go-go artists, we almost seldom never, like, you never really see a lot of bands intermingling and putting out material. So that's also something that we need to be working on and working on soon. It's just, that's an excellent point.
Well, thank you so much, Kendall, for giving us a call. I appreciate it. In the few minutes that I have, I want to ask, you know, Michelle, what's beyond Enjoy Myself, which is just doing exceptionally well? I guess it's just kind of like the movies. When we see the movie, the actor is already working on another project. So we're hearing and enjoy myself. What are you working on now? What's your next, can I say it, money move?
Okay, so first off, I'm glad you mentioned that, because Enjoy Myself is actually a part of a larger project, which is my CD called Body of Work that I released on May 22nd, and there are 12 songs on the CD, and Enjoy Myself is one. There are a few other songs, and actually I think that are also HUR friendly, and it has that soul vibe, because I tried to be as diverse as I could to show sort of the scope of and the range, because I wanted to show depth and range using go-go music to prove that go-go music has depth and range and has the potential for depth and range. And there's a song in particular called Party Mode that emphasizes what he's talked about as far as jazz music, and it incorporates jazz and you know, a more 90s modern go-go feel. And I actually am working on another project, even though there are songs on the CD that I think are also single worthy that I'm going to be pushing, as well, after Enjoy Myself is sort of gotten, you know, embedded in people's, you know, psyche, and they're ready for something else from Michelle Blackwell. But yes, I'm already, taking songs and working on my next project, because I don't plan on stopping.
So when can someone see you perform? Where is your next performance or group of performances?
Okay, so I have a show on the 30th. It's actually my album release party. It's going to be at the Secret Garden. It's on the 30th of June from 7 to 11. It's a, I guess you could call it a dusk party. I'm also going to be performing for HUR at the DC Winery on July the 12th. They're doing a DC artist showcase, and I'm a part of the showcase, I'm proud to say.
Oh my. So you, I didn't get that memo.
Yes, absolutely. Shout out Tracy LeTrue Trail for inviting me and your program director. Yes, they reached out, and I was just so overwhelmed by that. Those two shows, I'm going to be doing something at the end of July at the Paradigm, and I'm actually also going to be, I was just added to we're not on.
I just realized I gotta go.
Okay.
No, don't apologize. God, I gotta go. Michelle Blackwell, Max Myrick, and of course Micah Robinson. Thank you all so much,
thank
Michelle.
You
good luck to
thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius.